ASN thanks Otsuka America Pharmaceutical Inc. for support of this podcast.
Hello and welcome to day two of ASN Kidney Week 2021 and the Kidney Week podcast. I'm Todd Ibrahim, Executive Vice President of the American Society of Nephrology. I'm thrilled to be joined by the co-chairs of the committee that will plan next year's Kidney Week, Dr. Kirk Campbell and Dr. Catherine Godson. I've asked Dr. Campbell and then Dr. Godson to introduce themselves. Dr. Campbell?
Thanks so much, Todd. I'm Kirk Campbell. I'm an adult nephrologist at Mount Sinai in New York, where I serve as the Vice Chair for Diversity and Inclusion, and also I'm the Nephrology Fellowship Program Director.
Dr. Godson?
Hi, Todd. Thanks a lot for this opportunity. I'm Catherine Godson. I'm a basic scientist. I lead a research group in University College Dublin, Ireland. Our interests are in vascular complications of diabetes and particularly in the mechanisms that underpin the resolution of inflammation.
Well, thank you both again for joining me, but also for committing to help plan and lead the planning efforts for next year's Kidney Week. It's a major undertaking, and we really appreciate it. During today's plenary session, ASN President Sue Quaggin celebrated Dr. Barbara Murphy. Dr. Murphy should have become the Society's president on January 1st, 2022, but she tragically died earlier this year. Dr. Godson, how will you remember Dr. Murphy?
Gosh, as a most inspiring colleague, her integrity, her professionalism, her originality, she's just a force of nature. And I think, as our president mentioned, she fitted more into the short years that she had with us than pretty much anybody. She was really inspirational. She was such a great colleague. She was so good to us in the international community. She was always the first to get the letter out in support of grant applications. She was so quick to share her insights. Every conversation with her left you feeling more energized. She was really a wonderful, wonderful person. It's kind of weird to think that ASN is online again this year. And I think sort of the idea of not seeing her striding through the halls at the convention center kind of summarizes how we're all bereaved by her loss.
How something I used to talk with her a little bit about, and I've never really understood as well as I should. And I'm just curious as to how do you think her childhood and life in Ireland influenced her sort of worldview and how she looked at both medicine, but sort of the broader sort of healthcare challenges that we all face.
I think she had that really unique combination of intelligence and directness, and yet she was politically really savvy. So anything that she advocated for, she had great, I think, political intuition. And I think, you know, growing up in Ireland, she was very close to her family, to her siblings, and indeed to her parents. And she grew up in a family that was actually quite politically active. She was always like to, you know, until her passing, she was still engaged and discussed politics in Ireland, healthcare policies. You know, she was very exercised. And I think that sort of the upbringing that she had really made her fearless when it came to dealing with authority. I think fearless is probably a good word to describe her. She didn't have any sense of, I think you find a lot of Irish people don't have much sense of hierarchy. So she just went straight for whatever she needed to do. And I'm sure Kirk will agree with that, with his collegial nature of how she dealt with people.
Kirk, is that true? I'm sorry, Dr. Campbell, is that true? Would you say that she was fearless and didn't sort of follow hierarchy?
And Kirk is fine, Todd, but absolutely, there definitely was a common touch, which could sometimes, you know, when obviously I worked with Barbara when she was a division chief and later in her role as chair of medicine, I really got to witness her leadership style up close. And there definitely was that element of a common touch, you know, definitely, you know, engaging a lot with trainees, but knowing how to get concessions that were positive for the environment around her out of leadership. And I think those were very unique qualities. I think too often our leaders are really self-absorbed, right, with their own success and their own daily activities. But she certainly was a unique presence in the sense that she truly was selfless.
Yeah, I don't think status really mattered to her in any way other than to advance whatever cause she wanted to advance.
Yeah, my impression, I guess, just sort of based on my interactions with her, particularly when she was on the ASN Council, was that Barbara very much appreciated hard work and doing the right thing. And if you combine those two, if you were headed in the right direction and you were putting in the effort to get there, then she was going to do everything possible to support you. But she didn't have a lot of patience for people who either mailed it in or whose values were perhaps not aligned appropriately. And I say that with great affection. I'm just curious as to if you think I've sort of described Barbara correctly.
I think I think that she didn't really understand why people wouldn't have the same level of commitment as she showed, and she really valued her colleagues in ASN because they were so committed. I think her directness was really disarming for a lot of people, but I personally found it very charming that there was no wasting time. She just got straight to the point, and you knew that it wasn't about her, it was about whatever, you know, core objective what was in mind.
Yes, I would certainly agree. You absolutely knew what was expected of you, and it was realistic. And you know, there was accountability in assignments and tasks that were you know, sort of assigned to individuals. And of course, you know, she would reward and recognize excellent performance. But at the same time, I totally agree. There was a directness to letting folks know what was expected of them.
But I don't think there was anything expected that she didn't deliver exponentially.
You know, one of the other things I noticed, and Sue mentioned this in her remarks earlier today, was that Barbara took the role of being a mentor incredibly seriously. And it was something that really, I think, helped define her, but also fuel her. And I'm would like to just hear from your own perspectives, either, you know, ways that she may have helped mentor either of you or people, you know, that she mentored that you'd like to just sort of acknowledge at this moment.
I suppose, you know, I didn't work directly with her, but I was really aware of her mentoring style. And I think whereas, you know, it can be easy to mentor more obviously junior people, she was actually really good at mentoring colleagues and mentoring people from afar. And I have to be really honest, I mean, particularly since the pandemic began and, you know, we've all been pretty much stuck at home, we used to talk or WhatsApp several times a week, and she was always such a good sounding board. You know, she was a mentor to me, you know, 3,000 miles away. I know that to many of the undergraduate students from our medical school, she hosted them in her labs, or Kirk hosted them over the years, renal fellows that would have gone to spend some time in her lab. She was fantastically interested and always committed, always kept up with them, always interested to know where their careers had taken them, never hesitated to take on extra responsibility for, you know, for example, examining PhD theses and stuff, which is a really big commitment when you're as busy as she was. But she was a wonderful mentor.
Yes, I would just you know, like to add that there are obviously different kinds of mentorship. From the type that Catherine mentioned, that shoulder to lean on, the scientific mentor, the career mentor at different stages of accomplishment. And she was great at all of them, but she was also an amazing sponsor. You know, she opened doors for so many individuals at so many levels of their career. You know, when she saw potential and advocating, you know, for folks on research, education, and clinical tracks, right? To raise their local, regional, national, international profiles, right? So that they would get the opportunities that they deserve. And especially women in medicine. You know, I think we talk a lot about, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, and now belonging. She was a strong proponent of all those concepts long before they were fashionable, and really led by example in that regard.
I suppose one word that really captures a lot of her activities is she's incredibly generous. generous at sharing her networks, as you say, Kirk, generous at promoting other people, at seeing opportunities for them that they couldn't see themselves. I mean, really, she saw other people's success as her success. You know, she was fantastically generous.
Kirk, I know you're a big soccer fan, and you and I have talked a little bit about it. And, you know, there's interesting research about in basketball, the team is only as good as its strongest player. So if you think of LeBron James's career, it's not surprising that he's had the success because he's been that much better than other players. And in soccer, the team's only as strong as its weakest player. So it's completely the opposite. And one of the things I noticed about Barbara and working with her is sort of that attention to detail, that understanding that as you think of a group of people, you think of a team, you think of sort of your role as a mentor, you're only going to be as good as the entire team is and sort of helping to develop people. I'm just curious as to your experience at Mount Sinai, maybe an example of that sort of moving forward.
That's spot on, right? And I think she was probably more of a soccer leader than a basketball one in that sense, because there definitely was the team view. And, you know, even a lot of us who worked closely with her, we didn't always get what we asked of, right? We didn't always get what we wanted, right? Because she was thinking about parity and fairness, right? To all, right? And, you know, sometimes, you know, we'd make requests, but she'd always have in mind, you know, individuals who weren't necessarily, you know, ones who had as much access to her, but just thinking about their well-being and the morale of the team and institution, what was great for the department and all around us. And that made us all better, right? Just knowing that there's a mission broader than our individual interests. And she really, you know, would highlight that constantly.
So, Catherine, as you think about next year, and, you know, I guess I have two questions that are intertwined. I mean, one is that, you know, your responsibility in working with Kirk and the planning committee for next year's meeting and just thinking about sort of what you'd like that meeting to be is sort of one question. And the second one is something I've been thinking a lot about, which is, and Sue implied it, I think, today in her presentation, which is, you know, how do we honor Barbara's legacy moving forward, both as an organization, but also as individuals? You can either take both of those or one. I know there's a lot sort of in there, but I'm sort of curious as to sort of your reaction to that question or those questions.
Well, I suppose, and I hope that we will be meeting in person, and that alone will be an extraordinary achievement if it happens. I know that what we have now is as good as it can possibly be, but it's really not the same. I think that Kirk is kind of hit on quite a lot of the really important aspects of Barbara in terms of her inclusivity and her excellence. So I think that those are going to be really important features of our program for next year. And one thing that I've always really valued the ASN for is its ability to see beyond nephrology. So whatever is, not necessarily the next big thing, but maybe the next big thing, that is one thing that the ASN is really great at. It's bringing in people from other fields that have made really significant progress in science and in medicine, and hopefully we'll be able to capture that sort of sense of excellence and commitment to excellence with our program for next year.
And Kirk, as you're thinking about next year, both the meeting and then the year itself and Barbara's legacy, you know, how would you respond to that question?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Catherine said. I think in the years ahead, and especially next year, and honoring Barbara's work and commitment, we'll definitely want to continue to reassert the value of nephrology, to continue to promote innovation scientifically. I mean, those are all things that she absolutely stood strongly for. And also making sure that we're doing enough to nurture training, mentorship, guidance for the next generation of leaders in the field, because she did that so extremely well.
Catherine, you had mentioned the point that Kidney Week and ASN, you know, tries to look outside of nephrology. I'm just kind of curious, as you look at medicine and you look at science, beyond nephrology, what are you most excited about? What are some of the things that when you see it in the literature, you sort of look up and think, wow, this is something I can't wait to learn more about?
I suppose from a slightly insular point of view, the whole single cell transcriptomics, genomics, epigenetics, the non-coding genome, the long non-coding RNA, like what is the impact that these actually have on molecular phenotyping, and where is that going to bring us in really understanding, you know, what underpins disease and where we may be able to intervene. So that interdisciplinarity, I know it might sound a bit of a cliche, but this idea of data science, which I think, you know, was very important to Barbara in her translating her findings, but the integration of data science with pathology and biology and the sort of superimposition of biological intelligence on data science, which I think is probably where we're going to really make progress. So when we have kind of biologically informed analysis of data.
Kirk, I'm curious as to, from your perspective and sort of particularly through the lens of healthcare in New York City, what are some of the things that you think would be interesting to present next year at Kidney Week?
I think absolutely, you know, data science, machine learning, as Catherine mentioned, will be a big focus. But another element is incorporating patient advocacy and really partnering more effective with patient and stakeholder organizations. I think, you know, that's something that's been done very effectively again in other fields, and really, you know, driven legislation that has positively impacted healthcare, right? Legislation from Congress and so on, and also driven the pharmaceutical industry to promote more drug discovery investments in the rare kidney space. I think that's something that we could absolutely aspire towards. Some of that is happening, but we could absolutely, enhance these activities around the patient advocacy space.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, one of the positives of having Kidney Week be fully virtual the last 2 years is we've been able to engage more patients as participants. And as both of you know, we do include a patient on the planning committee. So we are trying to also include patients as presenters and as speakers. So one of the challenges we have is we think about next year's meeting, and it's unclear if it'll be a hybrid meeting or it'll be fully in person, or it'll be fully in person with a digital component. I mean, there's a lot of variations that we're going to have to think through over the next couple of months. But we don't want to lose the patient voice, both from a speaker perspective, but also a participant perspective. So I think that becomes a real challenge for us. So in closing, I just want to make sure we circle back to Barbara. So Kirk, I'll start with you. Just curious as to any sort of parting comments about Barbara you'd like to make before we close for this podcast.
Well, I think that Barbara was a one-of-a-kind leader, a natural administrator, and someone who really wasn't afraid to utilize political capital, right, to make clinical care, the scientific environment better for trainees, patients, and all stakeholders around, and we'll miss her dearly.
Catherine?
I suppose when I think about her, I think about the influence that she's had, and you know, she's the light that will never go out in terms of how she has inspired so many people that she's trained. And I think what she's done, she's the legacy that she leaves is really highlighted by, you know, those she trained, and also the discovery, the research that persists after she's gone, which is, you know, has been a major contribution to our understanding, and it sort of underpins the value of research pursuits and education.
Well, Catherine, Kirk, thank you for taking the time to have this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
ASN thanks Otsuka America Pharmaceutical Inc. for support of this podcast.